Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you to the December 19th, 2024 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and we'll swear in witnesses prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are final, and they are recorded. Challenges to decisions of this board must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please turn them off at this time. If you will, join me for the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for a time to come together to do the business of this city. Thank you for these people here and for the privilege of living here. Lord, we just ask that you give us wisdom today, help us make right decisions, and to hear what's being said and to do what's right. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, we have the swearing in of witnesses. If you're planning to speak here today or give testimony, if you will, please stand. If you're at home, you can do this at home. Raise your right hand, repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right, we have a item requested to be removed from the final agenda. It is 5906 Edison Avenue. It's a variance to the side yard setback, 24-0063308. Is there a motion to remove this?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon, seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and this item will be removed. Next, we have the approval of the minutes from the October 24th meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
All right, motion to approve by Mrs. Jones. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Okay. All right, next we're going to have the approval of the final agenda as you see it before you. Do I hear a motion to approve it?
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and agenda is approved. All right, first we're going to hear 1100 East 31st Street. This is an appeal of an MPC decision, 24-006294.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. I'm going to speak to you briefly about an appeal of a decision that was made by the MPC on October 15th, 2024, very briefly. Unfortunately, I have to step away following this, so I will run through this somewhat quickly. The petitioner, Melissa Jest, is appealing this October 15th grant of two variances, essentially, that were given to the petitioner in association with a residential multifamily project that's proposed at 1100 East 31st Street. And the complaints do not specifically state exactly the two variances that were granted, but there are a series of five complaints, in essence, that were lodged by this appellant. They assert that the proposal was out of scale with the surroundings. The proposal sets a dangerous precedent for all historic residential neighborhoods. The first floor parking is unsafe for pedestrians, and the structure's pedestal design is inconsistent with the existing pattern and character of development. Also, there's no guarantee that the affordable housing unit that was assented to by the petitioner at City Council will be permanent. The two specific variances that were granted were first to permit a fourth story within the height limit of the TC1 zoning district. And so you can see the proposed architectural rendering that did not come through MPC, but it did go directly to City Council. So there was some conversation on the part of the original petitioner with City Council. And again, this was the concept that was shared with the neighborhoods, the concept that was shared with the aldermen prior to the council's approval of this petition for rezoning when it went through City Council. The other variance that was granted on that day, just to share this with you, you can see here in the TC1 zoning district, the height is 3 stories up to 45 feet. Again, there was no variance to the maximum height permitted. There was only a variance to the number of stories that would be permitted within that height of 45 feet. The only other variance that was granted that day was a variance to permit a modified buffer. There is a duplex that is next door to this property. And right here, what you're seeing is actually a structure that I believe is a remnant of a former commercial structure, actually mixed-use structure, that sat on the subject parcel. That structure was demolished. And so what you see is this remnant structure that is predominantly on the adjoining property, but there is a minor encroachment here, and that necessitated the petitioner asking for a modified buffer, which you can see here. This, again, is just kind of a concept of the proposal, but once this comes through for approval by MPC staff, the expectation is that it would be consistent with that was presented and approved by the MPC itself. So I'm going to go back to the report now. Those were the two particular variances that were granted that day. These are the 5 complaints that were listed in the application. Again, the building, assuming that it now has a 4-story, even though it is within the 45-foot height limit, is out of scale with surroundings. Proposal setting a dangerous precedent for all historic residential neighborhoods, the first floor parking being unsafe for pedestrians, the structure's pedestal design being inconsistent with the existing pattern of development, and no guarantee on the affordable housing. The appellant is requesting that the MPC's approval of these variances be overturned, and also the MPC staff recommends that the unanimous decision of the MPC be upheld and affirmed. So we're addressing the question as to whether or not the MPC erred in its application of the standards, approving the 4-story and the modified use buffer. In looking at this, I'll offer you some findings. We found that there was, again, mixed use on the site, but the combination structure had been demolished by 2023. The zoning ordinance does not require a neighborhood meeting for the consideration of a site plan variance. However, neighborhood meetings were held in advance of this parcel's rezoning, and the zoning map amendment was approved by council on June 27th with the condition that there would be affordable housing associated with the petition that originated with City Council. That was not something that was conditioned in MPC's recommendation of approval in the rezoning. Again, that was explicitly from council. In reviewing the record of the 3 previous hearings related to this item, MPC staff was not able to locate any comment by Ms. Jest, who is the appellant here, indicating her participation in those hearings or voicing these concerns when this application came through for any of those previous hearings. The property is within a National Historic Eligible District, but that is not a national district, and there is no local district with design standards that would be applied for this particular location. The site does have 100 feet of frontage on Waters Avenue, which is classified as a collectorate. This segment has 60 feet of frontage on East 31st, and it is also adjoined by East Anderson Lane. In looking at the comprehensive plan for the site, the development pattern is within the urban core character area. I'll note that this in this description, it does state that these are anticipated to be infill areas where you can expect to see 2-to-4-story development, given their location within close proximity to downtown. Finally, per section 3.21.9b, the MPC is authorized to grant variances to building standards for permitted uses in the base zoning districts, as well as variable standards in Article 9 related to site development on the basis of the criteria that the ordinance establishes. Again, for your reference, these are the very same criteria that are applied to most of the cases that come through to this particular board. General consistency, special conditions, literal interpretation, minimum variance, and special privilege not granted. In applying these, I'm sorry, just to offer you a little bit of the thought behind this. So the appellant doesn't directly kind of attack the two variances. They more so have a difference of opinion in the application of these standards. But MPC staff did, in reviewing this petition, offer a balanced view of all of these criteria. All of them were duly considered as required by the ordinance. And again, the ordinance does give the MPC authority to grant these variances where appropriate. That is something that is within its purview. And it was upon the information that it was provided that it considered the variances that were granted. The circumstances of this particular site are not broadly applicable elsewhere. And so to make the assertion that this sets a precedent for other areas is quite frankly just untrue. The decision is consistent with Plan 2040, which designates the subject parcels as part of the urban core character area, which again anticipates infill redevelopment with multifamily dwellings ranging in height from 2 to 4 stories. The site is on a corner and adjoins a relatively higher volume thoroughfare, Waters Avenue. And although this neighborhood is historic in character, there are no local district design guidelines that would apply here. And so there are no standards to hold a potential developer to any character of building to be developed on this site. Finally, the condition that the affordable housing be included, again, originated with City Council. This was not placed by MPC, and the grant of the variance was not necessarily contingent on the provision. The one thing that the MPC did agree with staff on was that because affordable housing was being promised in association with the development, that one of the 3-bedroom apartments within the development be dedicated for affordable housing. So again, the condition was not one placed by MPC, it was placed by City Council. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend that the original determination, which was based on a competent and complete application of the relevant review criteria, that it be upheld and affirmed by this board. I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
I got two questions, Edward. First, help me understand, why did this application go to MPC instead of coming to zoning to start with?
So there was a determination recently, I guess when you know better, you do better, right? There was a determination that was made by the zoning administrator not too long ago that the intent of the ordinance in granting the MPC and the ZBA similar authority powers to approve variances was that those that were in association with an eventual site development permit should go to the MPC because the MPC also has authority over site development permits. Those that would not ultimately require the issuance of a site development permit were to be diverted or routed to this board. So it created the ordinance, that better understanding of the intent of the ordinance in kind of allowing both boards to grant this power, you know, within kind of their respective lanes is what sent that there rather than coming here.
But then appeals to our decisions go to Superior Court, appeals to their decisions come to us.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the affordable housing thing you're talking about is determined by the information from the housing Department of Housing and Urban Development on the federal level and
so at
with
present,
their equation.
There has not necessarily been the adoption, as you all know, we've had this debate a couple of times. There have not actually been criteria that have been set for this. It's something that we're still working toward with the expectation that likely within the next 6 months or so, we should see another vote by City Council to actually establish a policy. But this is a space where we're actively working, and there was a petition that was heard but was continued to this effect. So.
But HUD does have an equation that they use depending on what community you're talking about to determine the amount based on the average median income and that kind of thing.
That is correct. It has been the intent of this administration to align its local affordable housing policy to ensure that its program is consistent with HUD's AMI standards that are set for the Savannah area. So,
thank you. Any other questions for staff? All right, thanks.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record, and sign in?
Melissa Jest.
Good morning, Mrs. Jest.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. Greetings all. I want to thank you ZBA board, MPC staff, as well as the city planning staff for this hearing, for this opportunity. I did hear Mr. Morrow's report to you stating that I did not address the variance standards, so I hope to do so this morning. And I'm here asking, of course, for your consideration and your approval of my request, which would be to repeal these variances granted in light of the dire impacts, both immediate and long-term, on the residents, property owners, landlords of the Live Oak neighborhood, as well as the four contiguous neighborhoods, Eastside, Ben Van Clark, Midtown, and Baldwin Park, comprising of about 10,000 residents. So, and this appeal petition asks for denial of these variances for the fourth floor and the reduced buffer on these given concerns. The first issue is that the claim of the fourth floor is needed to provide the affordable unit. However, that unit was granted under the zoning. So if I'm understanding correctly, the quid pro quo, the exchange here for the traditional commercial one zoning was agreed to include that unit. So it's my statement here that the variance claiming needing to be approved is a grave miscalculation based on the agreement that was already made on the rezoning. So that is my first argument in terms of this variance. Again, that particular unit was already granted for the rezoning to TC1, and to use that as a justification for this fourth floor variance to me is kind of a double counting. So that is why I'm asking you to repeal that particular variance. The developer is not giving anything new for this variance request of the fourth floor. So that is one point. The other point is that a fourth floor is drastically out of scale with the surrounding context. And that context would be from Anderson Lane going south. And that the context there is a residential context, which would be the best comparison. However, here the context is stated as going in the other direction, pointing to other larger structures there on Anderson, which is an arterial street, and others. So that is my argument here under the general consistency in your criteria. So also there, I wanted to point that staff does state that there remains a concern that the development is not appropriately designed for contextual sensitivity and could become a detriment to adjoining properties. And so that's another point that I bring to you as I ask you to repeal this variance for the four stories. Also going on the variance criteria, again, general consistency section A, in reference to the buffer, there's a statement that staff makes that it's not averse, but that context is a key consideration. And so while it's not averse, I state to you that it's adverse, given the parking on one level, on the first level, and then residential directly next door on that first level. A reduced or even a waived buffer would have an adverse effect on that particular property. So I ask you to repeal that. The owner of that property at 110406, Mr. Chow, he did voice his concerns about this buffer. So I also ask you to repeal that in this appealing here. Also, under your variance criteria, special condition B1, again, just reiterating about that unit already having been granted for the rezoning. And so to use that as a justification for this fourth story variance, I think is, again, a miscalculation, a double counting, kind of flawed logic here. And so that's what the strong basis for my request to you today. Also, under your literal interpretation, staff states that this requested variance is a calculated risk voluntarily taken by the petitioner, and also notes that that the developer would be able to still take advantage of this development opportunity without these variances. So there is no hardship here, since this is a purely financial decision that they're making voluntarily. Also, under your criteria, staff variance criteria states that this variance is not required, as I just mentioned, for them to take advantage of this zoning by right. And the affordable housing, again, that was agreed upon under that zoning and the TC1 showing allowing three-story project. Also, variance intent states that such variances shall not be detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare, and shall not be injurious or injurious. So I state to you that there is an injury here and that it would be detrimental. And thereby, I'm asking you to repeal those variances to enforce that shall not directive. And lastly, here, under your variance special privileges, I would offer to you that, yes, the variance would confer special privilege. Again, with that flawed thinking that the fourth floor is needed to provide the affordable housing unit, and that unit was provided as a part of the agreement for the rezoning by City Council. And it would set a dangerous precedent in terms of the height and this particular development and removal of any buffer or reduction of any buffer. It would set a precedence along this neighborhood corridor and also for this neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods. So I offer to you that, yes, it would be a special privilege given this effort to double count the affordable housing unit to justify that variance. So, and those are my points, and happy to answer any questions if that's appropriate.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank
any
you.
Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you, ma'am. We have one speaker, Mr. McCorkle. Will you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Robert McCorkle, McCorkle Johnson McCoy here on behalf of the property owner. Appeals are not easy things to proceed with. We don't see them very often. I probably haven't been here on an appeal in probably 10 years, I would say. It's just not something that occurs very often. There's a lot of issues about both having standing and then also the difficulty of being able to meet the burden of proof to have an appeal. Generally, these appeals are not about whether you agree or disagree with the decision that was made by the underlying body or whether your opinion is that this might be detrimental to the neighborhood as opposed to not being detrimental to the neighborhood. What's required in these situations is that there is some kind of an error in law, or that the body failed to look at the criteria, failed to thoroughly review the criteria and consider those things, or there was some kind of wrongdoing at the lower level, or some reason in which what they did was truly incorrect. And the burden of the proof is on the petitioner in filing this to provide specific reasons that the MPC acted in error. And what the code, what our ordinance requires is that they include findings of fact from the evidence put forth in the original hearing to show what the specific errors were by the below body. That's essentially what the standard is. We would put forward to you today that I don't think that burden has been met. I don't believe the petitioner lives near this site. I believe she does own a piece of property that's a few hundred feet away. That property is boarded up. It's not, nobody lives in it. But what was presented today to you was opinions about this project. Those same opinions, or at least similar opinions to those, were expressed at the hearings that we previously had. As was mentioned by staff, neither the petitioner nor any individuals that may have sent in a letter today about this appeared at any of the previous hearings or sent in an email or sent in a letter objecting to anything that happened at the previous hearings. I do want to make note that we've had three public hearings on this project. This has been going on for nearly a year. The first process was to go through the rezoning of the site. This is the site itself as it sits, just so we know what we're talking about. This is actually the building that was previously on the site. You may have been familiar with it because you drove up water as you saw it. It was It was lovely. The city demolished the building. It had been condemned for some period of time, and the city demolished the building back in 2023. Over the course of those three public hearings, we met with the neighborhood association. None of the four neighborhood associations objected to the zoning, nor did they object to the variances that we requested. We met with the applicable neighborhood association and with the aldermen as we were going through this process. What's important to note about while we were going through that is we showed the plans for the building the entire time through the process, both to city council and to the neighborhood association. So everyone knew the whole time through this process that what we were planning on building was ultimately a four-story building and that we were going to be coming back for these variances. These are the same pictures we showed at city council, same pictures we showed to the aldermen, same pictures we showed to the neighborhood. So there's been no hiding the ball here or any changing of what we were planning on doing and then showing up. Both at the rezoning and the city council, there were people that objected. People raised somewhat similar issues, although it was not the neighborhood as a whole. I would also proffer to you that we provided at least somewhere close to 10 letters of support from various individuals. You know, those letters of support talked about the needed redevelopment in the area, the need for additional apartment units in the area that would be able to serve the businesses that run up and down the Waters Corridor, various levels of support for various reasons. As was mentioned by staff, when we went through the zoning procedure, we were asked to provide one affordable unit. It wasn't specifically defined as to what that was going to be, but we assured Council and Alderman Leggett that we would work with them in order to decide exactly what level of AMI that's going to be that would satisfy them based on what they desired. And so because the city didn't have a specific ordinance, that's how we moved forward at the time. And so that's kind of the process that's gotten us here. My client's ready to really, we've got a site plan that's approved with these variants. My client's ready to move forward and build this building. You know, it's going to be a really interesting project. I think you would admit that the architecture is beautiful. It's a very unique building. It's going to be a structured timber building, which is, I think there's only one other one in town. And so this project has had a lot of eyeballs on it and a lot of comments from other various parties. And generally that has been positive. We had a staff recommendation for approval, both for the zoning and for the variances that we requested. We also had unanimous approval from both city council and for the MPC with moving forward, with this project. And so I'm not going to take you back through the whole thing. You got the minutes of the meeting, I believe, in your packet. We did provide, as Edward mentioned, there was ample review of all of the criteria of these variances at the previous meetings. We provided numerous photos, which are also in your packet, of the large-scale buildings that immediately surround this piece of property. This property is essentially on a corner that has two large-scale apartment buildings on the two other corners, and then has a parking lot for the apartment building on the other corner. So this is actually a picture of the four-story building that's diagonally across from us on the corner here. And this is actually, I believe, the property that the petitioner owns is back over here. So there's already a four-story apartment building closer to that piece of property than our property is going to be. But we showed, again, numerous pictures, massing models. We went through an entire process of this, both with staff and with council. With regard to the buffer, we did have a neighbor that objected. The neighbor has a piece of a building that's built onto our property and has built stairs off of his house onto our property that have no right to be there. And so, yes, they objected. But that was really the basis of the objection. We worked really hard with staff to get the staff recommendation on the buffer requirement. I would note two things about the buffer. One is, well, three things about the buffer. One is it was not mentioned at all in the petition to appeal this decision. But two, thing about the buffer is we were able to show that the buffer actually hasn't been applied to a single piece of property anywhere in this area. There are numerous commercial and apartment buildings all around the area, including new construction that's happened in the last several years, and this buffer has not been applied to any of them. The other thing that's interesting to note about the buffer is the buffer widths that are set forth in the ordinance do not take any consideration into how big the property is. So if you have a 50-acre piece of property and you build a multifamily building, even if it's only 10 units, next to a duplex, you got to have a 15-foot buffer between the two of them. If you have a 0.15-acre building and you're building a multi-unit building next to a duplex, you have to have a 15-foot, even if that takes up 25% of your lot. So there were very good reasons presented as to why these variances were good, made sense in this particular location. We were upfront about it the entire time. We provided ample evidence to that fact. And so for that reason, we would ask that you just uphold the variances and deny the appeal as it's been requested. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. Are there any questions for Mr. McCorkle? Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak? Any online?
No, sir.
If you will, you get a chance to rebut public comment if you'd like to say anything else.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you so much. In terms of me not attending any of those hearings, I did not receive any notifications. I did see the sign on the lot and where there was a 30-day period, I think, that allowed me to make this petition to you. So I would like to say that as well, and I think that might be the case for a lot of property owners in the area, not to, you know, make any kind of disparities on the staff. So that's one point. Also, in terms of the letters of support, I did review those, and those were very, very general and did not take into account, as I've been asked to do and have been able to do today, thank you, is to look at these variance standards. So I would say I'm not trying to run a popularity contest. I'm simply trying to use the process here to not only protect the interests of those who cannot be here, but also my own interest as a neighbor and a neighboring property owner. So I think that's what I would like to say in reference to me not being at any of the hearings. And then also one last point, my petition also kind of formed a little better today as I looked through those standards, and would like to say there's language that is going to make it challenging for staff to even guide this project because they're very, very nebulous terms like potential height and likelihood in terms of the buffer. So I would like to also offer that this variance, again, is looking at not double counting that unit. As you mentioned, Chair, that has not been defined in terms of how that's going to be enforced. So not double counting that to allow this variance, and then also to not set up staff on a slippery slope up that's going to make it challenging to really enforce the standards and hopefully guide this project to where it is a benefit and not a detriment. So thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Cullen?
Yes.
Okay.
I think this project, the builder, developer, did everything the way that it's supposed to be done from the beginning through the process over the course of the last year. They had a neighborhood meeting, met with the neighborhood association, met with the alderman, met with the MPC staff, went through everything. And when I reviewed all the material, I could see no errors. And as I understand this, the only way that we can appeal or for the applicant to appeal the decision is that they have to be able to prove an error. I see no error, and I think that the developer has done everything in their power to have input from the neighborhood, have input from the city. And the other piece of it is, you know, this is my area, and the city spent millions of dollars on Waters Avenue. And I applaud people who are coming there to develop nice projects, to stand with the city in developing that area. This particular project is a beautiful building. They've provided all the parking necessary. That's the reason for the fourth floor, is to get the parking on the first level. So I see no reason to support the appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Condon. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
Well said, Mr. Condon.
Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we reject the appeal and affirm the zoning, a decision of the Metropolitan Planning Commission as regards to this project.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to reject the appeal and uphold MPC decision. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ball. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the appeal is rejected. Next, we're going to hear 301 Forest Avenue, variances to setback and nonconforming structure, 24-005289.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and the members of the board. I'm Subhashi Karunaratna, presenting the staff report for 301 Forest Avenue. The subject property is located in an RSF5 zoning district with an area of 6,000 square feet. This makes the parcel conforming in lot size. However, there's an existing dwelling. There's an existing dwelling which is non-conforming regarding to the encroachment of one of the side yard setbacks and the front yard setbacks. The side yard setback is encroached. It only has 3.15 feet, and the front yard setback is 18.5 feet. Therefore, that makes the dwelling non-conforming. The petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the side yard setback from 10 feet to 3.15 feet and a relief from the nonconformity to expand an existing nonconforming structure. As you can see here, this green part and this blue and yellow part is the new addition. The expansion is on will increase the second floor footprint by 110 square feet and the first floor floor by 15 square feet, but both will be within the building coverage. During the analysis, the MPC staff identified that this requested variance is generally consistent with the zoning ordinance. And there's no evidence of granting special conditions to this. The requested variances are necessitated by the actions of the petitioner and might not be for pure financial gain. However, the variances are not required to make use of the property. Based on the analysis, the staff recommends approval of the side yard setback variance request and the relief of nonconformity request. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have questions for staff?
Just one quick one. Just confirming, this is an existing footprint.
Yes.
They need this variance to be able to complete the remodel of this house.
Yes, just the addition on the second floor and the first floor.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
My name is Gavin McRae Gibson. I'm the petitioner.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for reviewing our proposal. I thank the board. I thank the staff. We live in Savannah. I have done for many years. And my wife and I have always liked the Twickenham neighborhood. And we recently purchased 301 Forest there, which is a somewhat dilapidated building, but we would like to improve it as a single family house in an RSF5. And we want to improve it to make it into a nice house again. We have met with various people in the Twickenham neighborhood, including our very nice neighbors across the street at 233, the Coxes. And also we put this up on the Twickenham neighborhood Facebook page, and we received some very complimentary comments about how it would be a very good thing to improve this property. I would like to know if I could show the pictures that we had submitted to the staff.
Okay.
see them in there.
That's okay.
I don't know. No. The documentation, the plans that I submitted. If money, thumb drive. If
you want. I can't let you.
I would like to show the drawings that I had submitted to the staff that he reviewed.
These are the other ones over
here. The drawings with our application?
Oh, yeah. Show you the application.
What's in there? Only the application, none of the drawings. I have nothing to talk to. I can speak to the drawing that was in the staff report, but I would just like to note that we submitted many more drawings of this, which apparently are not in the system for presentation. But suffice it to say, let me just speak to the drawings that are here, albeit there being many more drawings that might help three-dimensionally. But I think this is pretty straightforward in a way. What we have is a house that was built in the 1940s. It's on two lots. So it was built closer to Elgin. This is at the corner of Forest here and Elgin than would now be permitted under the zoning. At that time, though, and I think the staff agreed, it was permissible. So this colored area here that you see is the amount of space that is within the current side yard, which is 10 feet. It's built, was built then closer to this lot line than would now be allowed. However, you can also see that the curb of the street is a long way out, so it's not right up against the street. Actually, it's 17 feet from the street, which is similar to all the other properties on Elgin. So it's not unlike any other of the properties. In terms of the house, it's a rather dilapidated house, as I mentioned earlier, that we would like to improve by making it into just a more regular rectangular shape by adding these pieces that you can see here. A little piece on the ground floor that's 15 square feet and a piece on the top second floor here, which is 110 square feet. And we would also change the roof a little bit. This colored area is within that non-conforming side yard. The rest of it is conforming. It's within all of the side yard setbacks. It's also non-conforming, as was mentioned by staff in the front. So it's 18 feet from the wall of the house, but it's 12 feet from the existing porch, which we would, you know, improve also. And so essentially we're just asking for the approval from the board to make this into a more regular-looking rectangular building and make it habitable again. It's been empty for 3 years, and it's dilapidated. So I think – yes.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay. So that's basically our petition, is to improve the house, bring it into conformance with the other very pleasant single-family buildings in the neighborhood. And we ask for your approval of the two items, one under 3.23, the side yard, for the request variance for side yard setback facing Elgin Street for a second story addition, the one I just showed. And secondly, under 3.24, for the expansion of this non-conforming structure for height that I mentioned. Yes, well, thank you, as well as increasing the non-conforming structure. I mean, okay, the drawings have now been brought up. Thank you to the staff. This really basically just expresses in more conventional architectural plans what I have just indicated. But can everyone see this plan now?
Yes.
Okay, if I could use the mouse. So this just shows you from the side what we're proposing to add. That's the 15 square feet on the ground floor, the green piece, 110 feet on the second floor, and the roof would be replaced. And you can see that as well from the front here, where the porch would be, and from the back, this is the piece going towards the street. So I don't really think we need to. Maybe perhaps we could go to some of the other drawings since you have them up now. Maybe A102 would be good. Yeah, let's look at that one, A102. Okay. We're just waiting on the machine.
Because of the size of your file.
Okay. No, not that one. A102? Okay, this one maybe would be helpful. This just shows a view of the building as it is currently. You can see it's rather curiously a kind of a shed add-on piece. And our intent, as you can see here at the lower left, would be to just make it into a single family building, more like a rectangular house. So I think that's all that needs to be said. Thank you for finding those drawings, though. I'd be very happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We have Mrs. Shelley Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just literally a resident on Forest. I've lived there for about 9 years. My mother actually owns the property. She couldn't be here. She just turned 78, but she submitted a letter. I was also had the fortune to work with Gavin. I actually sold him this property. I'm also an agent and manage a few properties in the neighborhood. And we live on the street, and it's been just an eyesore. So having the luxury to work with them and get to see their vision, we fully support it. Our neighbors across the street, Shayla Gutierrez, supports the vision of this. So I really just wanted to come and support them because we, as a neighborhood that's constantly improving, we take pride in our neighborhood. I'm also on the Twickenham Facebook page. I think one of the things brought up was people were concerned that this was about to be a multifamily unit. That was not the case. I think there was some confusion there. But I can speak for myself and my mother and some of the other residents on Forest that we highly support this because we look forward to seeing this. He was very nice in saying that it was a little bit of an eyesore, but it's heavily an eyesore. So I'm just here to voice my support as someone who lives on the street.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do I leave?
Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak? If you're online, use the raise your hand feature. Do we have anyone online?
No, sir.
All right. I'm guessing you don't need to rebut public comment, sir?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Conda?
No, sir.
Mr. Plump?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Ball?
No.
All right, will someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve staff recommendation or accept staff recommendation for approval to reduce the side yard setback to 3.15 feet and to provide relief from the nonconformity to expand a nonconforming structure.
Second.
All right. Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the variances according to staff recommendations. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 1918 Delaware Avenue. It's a variance to minimum lot size 24-005061.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, I'm Subhashi Karnaratne again. For the property at 1918 Delaware Avenue, the petitioner is requesting a variance to the minimum lot area required to subdivide the parcel. This is the proposed subdivision. The subject parcel is currently a conforming lot in RSF6 zoning district with a lot area of 10,000 square feet and a lot frontage of 135 feet where the requirements are 6,000 square feet and 60 feet. So it's actually in excess. There is also a one-story single family house, as you can see here, which was built in 1940 and it was renovated in 1970. The structure is a non-conforming because it encroaches the front yard setback a little bit, and as it has porch. The request for the minimum lot area variance is necessitated by the proposed subdivision of the lot. When the subdivision happens, it's creating two lots, one with 6,000 square feet in area and 75 feet frontage. That will be this one. And the other one will be 5,451 square feet and 50 feet in frontage. And the second resulting lot will be non-conforming by the area and the frontage. The issue at hand is that the zoning ordinance does not allow variances to reduce minimum lot area according to section 3.281B. Because it is viewed as an increase of the allowed maximum density in the respective zoning district, and an increase to the allowed density is only approved through a zoning text amendment or a rezoning. The analysis of the variance criteria found that the requested variance is inconsistent with the zoning ordinance. However, there is a special condition regarding this parcel because the lot is not the usual rectilinear lots that we see and which is assumed in the zoning ordinance. It has a trapezoidal shape, and it also has a drainage ditch that runs in the north part of the property. So the staff identifies that this as a unique circumstance, but it also does not seem to impose a hardship on the property owner for the use of it. The request to subdivide is financially motivated, and it is in its existing lot configuration. The existing structure can be expanded up to 40% of the lot coverage, and or an accessory dwelling unit may be built by right. Therefore, the MPC staff recognizes that the literal interpretation of the zoning ordinance would not deprive the petitioner any rights or result any harm, and the variance is not required to make reasonable use of the subject property. If granted, the variance would confer special privilege as variances to reduce the minimum lot area is prohibited by the zoning ordinance. Based on that, the MPC staff recommends denial for the variance request. Thank you.
You scroll back up to where the variance, the ordinance is highlighted. Mr. Condon, ask her what you were.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
As I understand it from our last two meetings, the zoning administrator has said that as long as this is a single family residence, that this particular section 3.28.1.B does not apply, because we just last meeting issued two variances just the same as this.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
So then that's what the zoning administrator has determined, and,
right.
And we're correct to assume that
we have
disagrees
a much
with
better looking zoning administrator sitting right there at the moment, but
Hello. My name is Akila Wright from the City of Savannah, Zoning Plans Examiner. I did not have a copy of the previous staff report to be able to speak on this matter, but I can definitely get one for next time.
I feel comfortable in saying that it has been made clear to this board that as long as we're dealing with single family residences, that this is not applicable. Mr. Bolton told us that, and then we know that the city council through text amendments can do this, but that they're trying to resolve what I think we all feel is a glitch in the ordinance. So as you may remember from the last meeting, we voted on it. And so I think it's that this particular section is not applicable to us in this instance with single family residences, as long as the building site meets the recommended size and scale and so on and so forth. What we're really doing here is allowing them to shrink down an existing lot to make it practically usable, you know, and then, yeah.
Brad, do you have something you were going to add?
You are correct that this was discussed at the previous meeting, not with sufficient clarity to resolve the issue, but the issues I have identified as it relates to single family homes and the ability to build a single family home on a lot is what they were pointing to when they gave that definition.
Melanie, you got something?
I do. I didn't swear myself in. Melanie Wilson, Executive Director, CEO of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. I just want to make sure that you understand that staff has been consistent in our recommendations, that in this particular case, where you did recommend approval for the past ones, you did one because it was an affordable housing situation. And then second, we recommended denial and you recommended approval, which was within your purview. But I want to make it clear that just because each case needs to be taken individually with regards to the merits of that case, as you're doing your review. So just wanted to not have you dwell back on, some of the older cases because each one had different circumstances with regards to why you granted the variance.
I think what Mr. Conan was saying was more whether or not the ordinance applies or not, or is eligible for variance, and I think that's the question.
And I think that you're right. It's a debate that our staff is having with the zoning administrator with regards to two things: one, making clarification with regards to exactly specifically what this means, because this has the commentary highlighted, but the commentary technically is not the ordinance. The ordinance is the area that's not highlighted. And secondly, just because it's something that they noted, then what should have happened is that the zoning administrator should have submitted a request to us to amend the zoning ordinance. Because that did not happen, you know, you're still stuck with having to make specific decisions with regards to whether this is a true hardship that the applicant is creating for themselves or not, or whether the property, in this case, it's not a square, it's a trapezoid. As well as some other things are impediments to the developer or the applicant being able to develop the property. So that's the unique situation that we're in. But I just wanted to make it clear that this isn't, we know that it's not easy, but I wanted to make sure you understood that from a staff standpoint, our recommendations are consistent with what's in the ordinance, because that's what we have to use to base our analysis on.
Thanks. All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning, Board.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Ben Bloomley. Kind of a little confused after all that, but I won't hold too long. Everything that she noted was pretty much the case, that we did buy the existing property that had the adjacent lot. That house was dilapidated that we are refurbishing and rehabbing right now. What we were proposing is exactly that, the road frontage to be minimized from 60 down to 50, and then the variance reduction of 549 square foot. By doing that of that existing house, it does allow us to have a full buildable lot next to it that was on the screen. If you're able, and I have photos of this, and I'll give the board the proposed buildable lot with that the weird shape. On the other side of that canal, the good thing about this is that it will mirror the other lot that is the same exact kind of shape size on the other side of the canal. So there's no difference in the lot shape size. But when it goes back to the variance, we did want to point out a few things with that house, is that yes, it will be reduced, But we've looked at a lot of different other lots within not only a block, but two blocks of that subject property that we're talking about. I mean, there's three on Tennessee that have 35 foot frontages. We have a few that were on the corner of Hawaii that had 50 fronted. That was one street over. So the reduction in size somewhat doesn't conform with all of them, but there are similar lots in a very one block, two block radius that have that same exact size. And then the last pitch that we mentioned the last time I spoke, and we talked about affordable housing, and I know it's a touchy subject in regards to what that is. But if some of the board members remember, I did bring an analysis of the immediate area, and I did a half a mile radius of all the properties available in that area. And what we've come to find in that area is that there is a lack of homes that are truly affordable. Four plus years ago, our median home value in Chatham County was $186,000. Today, we're sitting around $370,000, $380,000. And so in that immediate area around the subject property of what we're trying to grant this variance for and build another house is an affordable home under $400,000. And so in the half a mile radius of this subject lot property, there are two properties, and I'll present, there's two properties that are available only to right now under $400,000 in that immediate area. So what we're hoping for is that with that variance, we can have the one home that was sitting there dilapidated. It's an improvement for the area. And then the vacant lot, we were able to build a home that is truly affordable for that area. And for that, and I do have photos of the potential build, which would be a three bed, two bath, just about 300 square foot home. And the price point would be in the low 300s once we'd be finished.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Oh, do you have any questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you.
Thank you, board.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? If there's any online, let me know.
There's somebody in the chat, but I think it's for a different item.
Okay.
Because they're asking about parking for apartments, and that's not this item. So and I think they're a little bit late.
There's no speaker cards for this one?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, we'll enter right into board discussion then. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just that this lot is pretty big as it is. It's definitely bigger than the average lot in Avondale, and making this into two lots would make it closer to the average lot size in Avondale. So I don't see a problem with that by itself.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffin?
I think the variance is appropriate given the unique nature of the lot.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I'll motion that we grant petitioner's request for a variance.
Okay, there's a motion to grant the petitioner's request for a variance by Mr. Plunk. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we're going to hear 625 West 37th Street, a variance to exceed 125% of the ADU requirement, 24-006268.
Members of the board, Subhasha Karunaratne again, at 625 West 37th Street. This is a property located in a TR1 zoning district, and it is in the Kyler Brownville Historic District. The petitioner is requesting to vary, for variance to increase the allowed maximum footprint of an accessory dwelling unit by 37 square feet. So then it will increase up to 737 square feet. The subject parcel is conforming in the zoning district. The primary structure that already exists was built in 1920. The building footprint of the structure is 1,842 square feet, and the lot area is 5,175 square feet, which is larger than what is required for the zoning district. Based on that, the ADU of 737 square feet meets the development standards according to the section 8.7.4 by the maximum 40% requirement, but it does not meet the 700 square feet maximum ADU lot ADU area requirement. A certificate of appropriateness was issued on October 23rd, 2024 by the Historic Preservation Commission for approval of the ADU under the condition that states reduce the footprint of the ADU to meet the 700 square feet maximum standard, and the HPC is recommending the ZBA to deny the variance request. The MPC staff concludes that the variance request is inconsistent with the zoning ordinance and finds no related special conditions, and that the request could be financially motivated. Also, the variance is not required to make use of the property, and granting the variance may confer special privileges. Based on that, this is the site plan. Based on that, the MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance.
You should scroll back up to where the percentages. Is there any questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hello, my name is Joe Gebhardt, the property owner, petitioner site. The whole point of requesting these 37 square feet extra is to be able to build a one bedroom with an office. That's the whole point. Otherwise, it's a living room with kitchen there and a bedroom. And the final plan is to have the mother-in-law move in. So we need an office for her to store her things and whatnot. That's the whole plan. It's 37 square feet. That's all I got.
Thank you. Any questions for the petitioner? Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
37 square feet is pretty much closet.
Exactly. It makes it so we can have, I don't know if you have the plans the architect drew up. It would be a smaller bedroom and then, yeah, an office next to it. Without it, exactly, it would be more moderately sized bedroom.
And 37 square feet is going to be a bedroom?
No.
Oh.
It's so that I can reduce that, the master or the only bedroom, and then cut an office in as well. I have we had to go through HVC twice. Originally, we had a little third floor, which obviously they were not happy with. That would have like cut in up here. That would have been the storage room, but that was denied. So we went through the whole thing again. These aren't those drawings. And we're able to reduce the size of the master bedroom or the bedroom and allow, I don't know, can I give you these and allow the,
But adding the 37 square feet just makes your plan.
It makes it work.
Makes it work.
At the end of the day, there on the bottom left of that one is what it would look like. And like you said, you know, without that, it'd be a bedroom and a closet. I also have, I suppose, the previous round with the tower, so that could show you what the main looks like without this 37 square feet. I don't know if that would help any.
As I understand it, the HPC has said that the condition of your COA is that you reduce the size of this to 700
yes, sir.
Square feet. So for us to do this, we would have to be agreeing that ADUs need to be more than 700 square feet and that the HPC, who's the experts in this area, should be overruled. When I look at the plan, it's a conventional looking project that I think you could shave 37 square feet off. you know, I've done 500 square foot ADUs and they're fine. You know, I think it might just be that, you know, you're looking for more than you might need. The city was very careful in its decisions about building 700 square foot ADUs. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a decent size. It's a two bedroom, you know, and to have the office, I get that, you know, it needs to be practical. But, you know, I also, as a builder, know that you can shave 37 square feet off of a project fairly easily. And then you didn't need to be here and we don't need to overrule the historic review board. You know, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you, sir. Any members of the public like to speak concerning this petition? All right, well, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you want to say anything?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
I just feel like, you know, it seems like it's only 37 square feet, but in reality, it's telling the historic review folks that, you know, they're wrong. And telling the city that, you know, if you just need an extra 37 square feet, don't worry about the rules that we've set for ADUs. 700 square feet is large. It's, you know, it's not, you know, it's supposed to be an ADU. It's not supposed to be, you know, a full blown apartment, if you will. That's my two cents.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say it's not really appealing a decision of theirs. He's just asking for a variance.
But we then have to be overruling this part of the COA is that that he reduced the size to 700 square feet. So we would be overruling them as well, the 37 square feet.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you want to say?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffin?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation and deny the request for the additional 37 square feet for the ADU at 625 West 37th Street.
All right. Mr. Condon has made a motion to deny. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for variance is denied. Next, we're going to hear 505 West 36. It's a variance to rear and side yard setbacks, 24-006271.
Good morning, members of the board. I'm Subhashi Karunaratne again. At 505 West 36th Street, the petitioner is requesting to approve variances to reduce the rear yard and side yard setbacks for it to be used as a caretaker dwelling unit. The subject parcel currently contains the Kaya House, a two-story residential building built in 1910, and a carriage house, which is a two-story accessory building. Both these structures are contributing structures in the Kyla Brownville Historic District. The Kaya House is a residence of Virginia Kaya and Dr. Calvin Kaya, and it is one of the first African-American museums in Savannah. The museum was opened by Virginia Kaya in 1959, and it was closed in 2001 once she passed away. Both main building and the accessory building have been unoccupied and have been deteriorating since its closure. Currently, the Civic Foundation and the City of Savannah are conducting an effort to restore the Kaya Museum, creating programs celebrating its legacy through art education and community engagement. For this restoration process, three other variances were required in addition to the two that you're seeing today. And all those three were put for the MPC board and was approved on December 17th. The existing accessory structure, which is this here, is not conforming with the zoning standard. It was built as a carriage house, but the petitioner intends to use it as a caretaker's dwelling, which is not an ADU. And the request would need the side yard and rear yard setback variances. According to the variance criteria of the zoning ordinance, the request is generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance, as the relief is sought to preserve and enhance the resource of local historic significance, and this is also identified as a special condition unique to this subject property only. Given the petitioner's commitment to restoring the museum, the MPC staff recommends approval of the two variance requests. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions for staff?
Just a quick question. Caretaker dwelling unit is allowed to be larger than an ADU. That's the difference? I ask because it's very specific that it's a caretaker's dwelling unit, and I couldn't find the ordinance. So,
well, if since this caretaker, sorry,
I'll just add. So this is a somewhat unique use. If we look at section 8.7.5, it's rather slim. The intent, I think, is similar to 8.7.4, but it does call out specifically caretaker dwelling unit versus accessory dwelling unit. An accessory dwelling unit would be required to maintain the same side yard setback as the principal dwelling, and that's why we applied that standard, given their similarity. But truthfully, there are very few standards that are listed there. So actually, we have applied those in the absence of those particular details.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Yes, hello, my name is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture and Preservation. First, I'd like to thank staff for the review and comments of this project. Obviously, this is a very important project to the neighborhood and to the city. One thing I just do want to restate is that we are basically rebuilding an existing historic structure that's on the site. The existing building has been determined structurally unsound, so we've been approved by the HPC to deconstruct that and build a new one in its place. So that's what we're doing. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Any questions for Mr. Ward? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to hear from Mrs. Isaacs from Historic Savannah Foundation.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. The Historic Savannah Foundation supports the application as it was submitted today to seek the approval for the two variances. The commencement and the rehabilitation of the Kaya Museum has been long awaited, and we are excited to see it begin in the new year. We appreciate the hard work of the architect and the development team, as well as staff's thorough review, and we agree with staff's recommendation for approval.
Thank you very much. Mrs. Gloria Williams.
Good morning. My name is Gloria Williams, and I'm president of the Kyle Brownville Neighborhood Association. I'm here to say that we are indeed happy. We're overjoyed that this project that we might be able to see coming up in the next year in 2025, and we find that it will actually bring something back to our neighborhood that we've not had. And of course, we are happy that the building is being repaired. So we're just happy, and we're supportive, and we're thankful and most grateful for the development team. I just want to say that we wholeheartedly support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public online?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, go ahead, ma'am.
Melissa Jest, I am a resident also in the Kyla Brownville neighborhood, so I just want to stand up and give my support for this variance. Yes, I'm supporting a variance. And And also, like Mrs. Williams, I'm hoping that this project will start the stabilization and repair of the larger home. I know that this petition is for the caretaker's home, but I'm hoping that would also kickstart some stabilization of the main home that was the home of the Kayas and the museum, as staff stated. So in support of this, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ward, would you like to add anything to public comment? It was all positive, so I guess you don't need to rebut it. So, Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes, I love the Kaya House. As a matter of fact, she was my art teacher at Beach Junior High. A lot of good memories, because by being an art student with her, we enjoyed being part of the Kaya Museum and everything that was in there, you know, including her, I think it was a cockatoo Joe. So remember that, as well as the fish in the bathroom, the large goldfish. So we worked in that house quite a bit, along with Miss Kaya, and she was a wonderful person, very pleasing, very loving. So it's a memory that we would love to have to come back. Glad to see it's going to be remodeled.
Thank you, Mrs. Jones. Mr. Turner?
No further comment.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Plunk? Mr. Ball?
No.
Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
Ms. Jones.
I would love to make a motion.
Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
That we accept the staff recommendations for the variances.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to grant the variances according to staff recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and variances are granted. Next, we're going to hear 1822 Arcadia Street. It's a variance for non-conforming ADU, 24-006265.
Members of the board, I'm Subhashi Karunaratne again. The petitioner is requesting approval of two variances at this specific property to convert an existing accessory structure to an ADU. That accessory structure is located right here. I'm sorry, it's not very clear, and we couldn't get a proper map to show that, but it's right here. The requests are to reduce the 125 minimum lot area requirement and to give relief from nonconformity to convert the existing accessory structure to the ADU. The subject property is in the RSF6 zoning district with 6,000 square feet, which is conforming according to zoning ordinance. However, to establish an ADU, the parcel has to have an area of at least 125% of the minimum area required. That will be 7,500. And the subject parcel does not meet this standard. The existing accessory structure is non-conforming because it's encroaching to the side yard and rear yard setbacks. It currently has 0 feet setback in both sides. The staff's understanding based on the submission is that the existing structure will be improved and no significant demolitions or expansions will take place. Both the principal structure and the accessory structure were built in 1980 prior to the adoption of the current development standards. The nonconformity of the structure is not a result of the action of the petitioner. However, it was knowingly acquired in its non-conforming state. The request may have financial motivations and the variances are not required to make use of the property. Based on the existing nature of the structure and the staff's understanding that the existing structure would not undergo any expansion or demolition, the staff recommends approval of the variance request.
So the footprint's not going to change. It's just to be improved.
Yes, that's our understanding.
Any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner come forward, please? Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mary Gittens. I'm the owner of 1822 Arcadian Street. So basically, I'm petitioning the variance to build an ADU on an existing structure.
To build, you're going to take the structure that's there, add the necessary things to it without improving, without adding to the footprint?
Correct.
Or the height?
Right. This is a single family home in front, and then nothing really will be changed structure-wise.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Francine West, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I own the property adjacent to 1822 Arcadian Street, and I purchased it in 2023, which was just last year. And according to the survey, the parcel or the building in which she's trying to renovate or build on, part of that is on my property. And I'm just here for public, to let the public know or let you know that part of that building is on my land. And since that time, they put up a fence, which is definitely on my land. So I'm not sure to say that against what she's doing. I think it's very nice, but that structure needs to be moved off of my land before it causes a problem somewhere down the road. If anything happens, I could see where I could be liable. Some hotshot lawyer may come in and say, you know what? That building is sitting on both properties. I'm going to sue that property owner and the existing property owner. But this is just for your knowledge. Okay. Any questions?
I guess my question. Go ahead, Mr. Blunt. Yeah, I was wondering maybe if the zoning administrator.
I'm sorry.
So if I could just note, typically we would be looking at an actual survey to make such a determination. We look at SAGIS, but we know that SAGIS has the potential to be unreliable. Any of these types of approvals that are made are granted on the basis of like actual surveys and site plans that are submitted at the time of the assessment of building permits. I'm looking for a map that is not here, so I'm going to go to SAGIS. I want to make sure that we're all looking at the same thing. I'm sorry, this is 1822 Arcadia. Arcadian, that didn't type a single thing. Okay, here we go. So as you can see, what staff is evaluating is within a margin of error that we would likely assume it's probably fully on this property, but of course we can only confirm upon submission of building building plans, which should be based on a proper ALTA survey.
Hmm.
Okay, whatever you're saying. Anyway, when I had the survey, I had to pay for the survey done before I purchased the property, and it was done accurately, and the markers are there. There are fence posts, which sits directly where the markers would be indicating the lot size. When the property was subdivided years and years ago, technically all of the lots were the exact same size. So when the fences were put up, it was put up on the proper way where the proper lines were. And again, that structure is well over almost 2 feet onto my property. But I did have the, I had to pay to get a survey done to purchase the property.
You don't happen to have the copy of that with you, do you?
Of my property?
Yeah.
I do.
Survey,
the
yeah.
Survey, yes, ma'am.
I have what they did, but I'm not sure whether or not it's going to show that. They showed me where my property line existed. So
survey, they should have had the building infringing on your property.
I'm not sure if they have all of that on there, but I do know it's there. Look at this. It's there. Trust me, it's encroaching. Well over, nearly 2 feet.
Should be a plat in here, shouldn't it? So what number is her property?
1822.
No, the lot number.
The lot number is, we have to, can you scroll on that to get to the lot number? It should be 13.
Okay. This drawing is very vague, just like the one.
There you go. So that's going to change stuff. It's not a survey.
There's no survey in there.
No. This is.
You don't have the plat for your property?
I may have it at home, but I couldn't put my hands on it. But yes, sir, it, trust me, I know for a fact that it is. And I can tell you how I know. When my parents bought the lot, before my mother passed, she owned both parcels of property. And before she passed, she told me, and I remember when my parents put the little garage out there, and I didn't think much of it. Like, I've always thought it would be like a playhouse. I always wanted to say, oh, Dad could let us use it as a playhouse. But my mother did tell me before she passed that it was over the line. And that was just something she just wanted the family members to know.
So,
yes, ma'am.
Yeah, got it. I have a question.
Go ahead, Mrs.
So, Johnson. So both properties were your parents' properties at
yes,
the time?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, it was.
Okay. So, and they sold one, the one that.
Unfortunately, my mother's estate is in probate right now, and I purchased the property just to see that one of the family members kept some of what my parents once had, but I do know for a fact that it is over. Property line. So just to be public knowledge again, not to say that she should be denied, but it's going to have to be moved off of my property. And I'm not saying that you're responsible for that. Y'all have nothing to do with that. But just to give notice that I want it moved however means. And I will be giving her notice from an attorney to have that done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mr. Morrow.
Sure. So that little note, that caveat at the very bottom of the staff report, very, very often it's irrelevant. I'd say it's particularly relevant this time. Staff's recommendation would change as a result of this kind of information. The recommendation of approval was on the basis that this was an accessory structure that was pre-existing, that was on the property line. It was the improvement of something that was already in place. With the knowledge that this is something that is likely going to require reconstruction, in essence, this is going to be a new accessory dwelling unit. In this case, staff would recommend denial of that. Something should be built that is conforming with the current regulations if it is not an improvement of what's already there.
Would petitioner like to rebut public comment? Go ahead.
Before building the fence, I actually met with Ms. Francine, and we talked about where I will build it on. We talked about the pole, and she agreed on, I told her that I was planning on doing a fence. She agreed on that pole, and that's where it was built. So if there's an issue, well, I think the survey is important to see first on the property lines. Certainly you can see that part of that, the front pole and the back pole align, and that is within my limits. However, moving a fence, it wouldn't be also a deal breaker if that is, you know, what she's requesting. But I do believe that it's within the lines, and I did meet with her before. Thank you.
Before you walk away,
yes.
Ultimately the property, where the property line falls, is not something we can figure out or settle here today. So that's going to be something that has to be taken care of, you know, outside of this board. Just as she said, do you have any rebuttal to Mr. Morrow's comments that I guess you indicated here that you are going to have to, he now, initially, I guess they thought you were going to be renovating the existing structure, but now he's saying his understanding is that you're going to do a complete demolition and rebuild.
No. This will be renovation.
Is that what he said? Sorry.
It won't be demolished to use the
So in essence, if the existing structure happens to be across property lines, it should not be improved. It should be torn down to make way for something that would be completely conforming with current standards.
And so since we don't know that right now, would it be best rather than accept or deny, it would maybe be better to continue this until we can get an answer?
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you be open to continuing this matter so we can settle, you know, where the property and then so you know exactly what you actually need to request from us?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it would be in your best interest to hire a surveyor and get your own survey.
Thank you. Yes.
Does someone care to make a motion?
I'll motion that we continue this 3 months, 2 months? I mean, how long?
Well, you could just say continue it
until a resolution is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motion that we continue this.
I'm sorry, if we could get a date certain.
There has to be a date. That's what I thought.
So if we would like to say the February.
We can continue to push it if need be. So
up to 6 months, 3 months.
Are you going to approve it if the survey comes back and she's in the right footprint?
I guess we could consider it.
Approve it now. And if they got to do a survey, and the survey is what it is, that's going to dictate it anyway.
I guess you're saying if we grant a variance, it's contained to her property and
if it
protrudes into the other lady's property, it doesn't matter if there's a variance for it, so they can make a condition.
I think it has to be a condition of the variance.
I would kind of agree. We have no jurisdiction over somebody's thing encroaching into someone else's property. It's just contained to that property.
If the survey comes back and she's correct, then they don't have to come back at all. They already have the approval, and if not, they have to figure it out.
They got to tear it down anyway.
Right. That makes sense to me, Mr. Griffin.
Well, how are you making what are we approving, this or what Mr. Morrow has already said?
We're only going to consider.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the applicant's variance request.
All right, Mr. Griffith has made a motion to approve the applicant's request for variance. Is there a second?
I'm sorry, sir. There were two competing motions on the floor.
Yeah, the other one wasn't an emotion yet.
It was in the process of making a motion, so I'll withdraw my in-process motion that had no second.
Yeah. So Mr. Griffith has made a motion to approve staff's recommendation for approval. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any further discussion on the motion?
Can discussion on the motion include a question to staff?
Sure. You can even make a motion to amend the motion.
Is what we've just said between the two of us, is our understanding correct that if we pass this motion granting her granting her approval, if she ends up being in the right here, she doesn't have to come back. And if it ends up that it is on the property line, then the motion would be dead. It wouldn't happen. Are we correct in what we're doing?
Okay. I fully understand your intent. As we have the person who would likely approve this here at the in the room today, Ms. Aquila, would you mind speaking to how that's actually viewed once you receive that?
Yes. So if this was approved with conditions and we received a survey, we would be able to go ahead and approve it because it's in the system. And then we'll go ahead and send her that. The approval, but if it turns out that the survey shows that the structure is on her property, then at that point we would
deny
it.
Regardless of what we've done. Do we need to
add a condition that a survey be done?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'd like to amend the motion from Mr. Griffith and add a condition that a survey be done.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to amend the motion on the table to include a condition that a survey be done prior to any construction. Is there a second to the motion to amend?
Second.
Okay, second by, I heard Mr. Conan first. So what you're voting on right now is the amendment to the motion.
If it's a friendly amendment, we don't have to vote, right? if he accepts it.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it is a motion to amend and we do need to vote. Okay. So Mr. Ball, how do you vote for the amendment?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right, so the motion passes, and now the motion before you is to approve the request per staff recommendations with the condition that a survey be done prior to any construction. Is there, so that's, that motion's already been seconded. So, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
And Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and variance is approved with conditions. Mr. Griffith, I'm afraid. Does anyone want to take a break before we do these last two? Does anybody need to take a break? All right, we're going to take a 5-minute recess.
Sorry.
They were going to have to get a survey for the garments because you got to get that to get the permit. So I thought that that was saying you've done it.
Need a survey to get a permit, but if you're going to build somebody's property line, it's really awesome.
Right. Which is good. Well, I thought no, that was what you
have. Did ask for your
survey before.
So, yeah, say if they got this variance plowed forward and built the thing, and then they find out it is on the property line, so you might tear the whole thing down rather than just a little
firebrand. She's like, I don't need to do my
line. Well, you never do.
Always put me right here.
He said they got
it. No, I didn't say that.
Right. Someone's slugging this up. Yeah, so.
Was it just two girls?
How are those beautiful silver nails?
They are great. Oops. You saw something? They are doing good.
Looking forward to Santa?
I am. I got a little more work to do.
Stuff can be something.
I've been in that kind of house maybe a month ago, and I had never been in there before, and I did notice the aquarium in the shower.
Explain that to me.
And they had kids, a large goldfish. Always say,
like in a tank, or they were behind the wall?
No, the tank, you only see it's built into
it
the
was
wall.
Built into the tank. Yeah.
You go in a closet behind the bathroom and feed them and tend to them, and it's kind of a closet there. But it's like if you're in the bathroom or taking a shower, you just see that.
That's very,
it's very different.
I bet.
The piano is still in there.
Is it?
Yes.
And all something that, you know, we had an art school. So we would go and work in the museum. And
well, obviously, they're upgrading all of that if they're building.
Oh, yeah.
That
house is deteriorated so bad.
But certainly that must be the plan.
Well, from what I understand, when you restore a historic place, they usually pick a period of significance to restore it to.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be restored back to when it was built. Maybe the late, where to the 50s. I guess 1960s, 50s or 60s when the Kayas were there, and they kind of gutted the whole front room all the way up to the ceiling.
Hey, yeah, you know.
For construction.
That was Delaware, right?
Probably. That's for yet another bite.
Especially if they
But it's not that both of them were non-conforming. It's the one that he was with the house on it that was. That's why we asked him to come back last time.
We have
maybe.
All right, y'all, let's crank it up and get these last two done. Okay, next we're going to hear 211 East 55th Street. This is a variance to rear yard setback, 24-006272.
Hi, this is Sadie Eschleren. I'm an assistant planner for development services. I'm here to talk about 211 East 55th Street. So the petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the minimum rear yard setback for an accessory structure in the RSF zoning district from 5 feet to 1 foot to replace a storage shed. Here's a little visual for where the property is located. So the property is located in the Ardmore Conservation District. The property is 5,400 square feet, which is 45 feet wide by 120 feet deep. The property itself is non-conforming in the RSF 6 district because of the frontage area. It would need to have 6,000 square feet for area and to be 60 feet wide. But the structure itself is conforming. It was originally developed as a single-family residence in 1923 with a current accessory structure that encroaches into the rear setback. The petitioner is proposing to remove the current accessory structure to build a larger accessory structure for storage. And the living area of the lot itself is 1,370 square feet. And the square footage of the proposed accessory structure would be conforming with regard to the 40% maximum floor area in the relation to the principal structure. So section 8.7.3.C.I of the ordinance says that an accessory building or structure shall not be located within 5 feet of the side or rear property lines, which is what this variance is requesting. And also another note too is that staff has not reviewed architectural plans, so the proposed accessory structure may have eaves or overhangs that require variance relief at less than 3 feet from property lines as required by the ordinance. So staff determined that the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance, but accessory structures with setbacks of less than 5 feet is consistent with current development patterns of many structures built in the 1920s and 30s, and that it would confer special privilege, but there are pre-existing structures similar, like we just stated. And here's a visual of the site plan. So with all that said, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance to reduce the minimum rear yard setback for an accessory structure in the RSF zoning district from 5 feet to 1 foot. Alternatively, MPC staff recommends approval of a 3 foot setback with the following condition: install gutters to prevent runoff.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good morning, guys. My name is Michael Roach. I'm the homeowner. Thank you for hearing this petition today. I want to start off by just saying this is my second time here in front of this board this this year. The first time you guys approved a variance that allowed us to add on to the rear of the house. So definitely appreciate that. It's given us an opportunity to renovate and our 100-year-old Craftsman bungalow that we just absolutely love. It's a part of our family. As we're starting to move into the kind of next phase, looking at, you know, our growing family and the needs of that family, we wanted to look at an accessory structure, adding one of those in the back. Right now there's a gardening shed back there, which really isn't very useful, for us. So looking to build something larger. In making this request, I definitely wanted to be thoughtful and intentional about what I was asking for. The, if I can pull up some pictures here. Currently, there are the existing building, the shed that's out there right now is about a foot off of the rear property line. Our neighbors on both sides of us, they both have accessory structures that are a foot off, about a foot off the property line, the rear property line. Looking back at Sanborn maps from 1938 and 1955, you can see where our lot is. There were accessory structures historically, you know, lined up right along that rear property line. Here's the survey that we had completed. Just, you can see the structure right here is roughly, you know, about a foot and a half, foot, just over a foot over the, off the property line. Here's our structure, the existing one on our site. And then also this fence ties in over here, which you'll be able to see in the following pictures, what that looks like. You know, I mean, it's, I know you're familiar with the development patterns in the RC Park area. Obviously, you know, building up two rear property lines is not uncommon at all. Same thing with our block. This is pictures looking east and west down the lane behind our house. These are pictures directly behind our lot. This is our existing, the shed that we have on the property right now. This is the existing structure on the property just to the east of us, and this is the existing structure on the property just to the west of us. And then you can see even further down an accessory structure on the corner lot there. Same thing, this is, you know, that one accessory structure to the west of us. More pictures of the same thing. I think you probably get the point that, you know, essentially everything, there's a consistent development pattern. I think not just in the neighborhood, but specifically on our lot and the two lots directly adjacent to us. So when I asked for the variance, I didn't ask for, you know, a full 5 foot variance. I'm looking for just that 4 foot variance so that I can keep the accessory structure in line with the structures to the east and west of us. Understanding that, you know, there is still a foot there and there will probably be some type of roof overhang. I also included in the petition a request to allow a roof overhang within that additional foot. We haven't yet, to the point, we haven't yet designed what we're wanting to do here. We're just kind of getting this next planning phase, but wanted to go ahead and look at this, you know, submit for this variance and see if that's something that, you know, we could go ahead and get approved. So ultimately, you know, ask you guys to approve the variance as requested so that we can enjoy our lot same as our neighbors and be consistent with the development patterns in the area.
Thank you.
You guys got any questions?
Y'all have any questions for the petitioner?
Give me a reason you would oppose the condition of a gutter as staff recommended on the as a condition?
No, not at all.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir. Any members of the public wish to speak? Is there any online?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Paul, do you have anything to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon? Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Would someone like to make a motion?
A motion that we grant petitioner's request with the single condition that he install gutters on the new development, on the new construction.
Okay. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the request for variance with one condition that he add the gutters to deal with water runoff. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Ball, how do you vote? Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes, and the variance is granted with the condition. Next, we're going to hear 1520 East 50th Street. This is a variance to rear yard setback 24-006332.
This is Sadia Schlorent again. I'm here to talk about 1520 East 50th Street. So the petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the rear yard setback for an accessory structure from 5 feet to 0 feet within RSF 6 zoning district. And here is the aerial and site map. The property is located within the Parkside Conservation District. Chatham County Tax Assessor says the property is 6,300 square feet, 60 feet wide by 105 feet deep. The property and the structure are both conforming with the within the RSF6 zoning district. It was originally developed as a single-family residence in 1945 with a current accessory structure, and they're proposing to replace it. The living area of the principal is 1,510 square feet, and the square footage of the accessory structure would conform in regard to the 40% maximum floor area in relation to the principal. The submitted plans do not indicate a kitchen, so it would be considered an accessory structure and not an ADU. So this is in relation to the same rule as the previous application, where the zoning ordinance says an accessory structure or building shall not be located within 5 feet of the side or rear property lines. The petitioner is requesting 5 feet of relief for a rear yard setback, making it a 0-foot setback from the lane. Similarly, the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance. However, setbacks of less than 5 feet are consistent with current development patterns, similar for conferring special privilege. And then here's the proposed site plan. And with that said, MPC staff recommends denial of the variance to reduce the rear yard setback for an accessory structure from 5 feet to 0 feet within an RSF zoning district. Alternatively, MPC staff recommends approval of a 3-foot setback with the following condition: install gutters to prevent runoff.
Okay. Any questions for staff? None. Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hello, committee. Thanks for having us.
You mind? Take your hat off.
Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry about that.
State your name for the record.
So I'm Jonathan Phillips, and this is my wife, Lauren, and we're at 1520 East 50th Street. If I may, not a case too dissimilar from the one that you just heard, although I feel like there are a couple things that are unique to our situation that we wanted to point out. I guess kind of to go through the analysis real quick, if I may, that was presented. Yeah, so this is our, it's called an accessory structure, but we want to use it as a home office. We just had a child. Our main house has become a little too small, so the use case of this is strictly for the Georgia business that we, you know, that I run out of my house for me to go work out of the backyard there. And I guess, you know, it's not an ADU, as it was mentioned. There's no kitchen, there's no tenant, there's no renter. Kind of like the gentleman pointed out previously, there are a ton of ADUs directly on our block in Parkside where people are doing Airbnb, they're doing tenants, they're doing all kinds of stuff. This isn't that at all. This is just a home office. So when the literal interpretation talks about it wouldn't deprive us of rights enjoyed by others. Same situation as the gentleman. I don't know if we have him. We submitted a bunch of photographs of the immediate block and the lane, and the majority of the properties on our block have accessory structures that are directly on the property line, directly on the rear alley. And the use case for a lot of those are ADUs, Airbnbs, rental properties, all kind of stuff like that. So we feel that's a right that is a precedent that those folks are doing, that we're not even asking for that. We're not saying let us build a rental property. We just want to enjoy our home office ability to do that. And then in the comment in the analysis, you know, is this variance necessary for us to make use? And the analysis is no. Essentially, this is a very small little office structure. And if we didn't do it with the setback where we're asking, it just wouldn't make sense to build something that even something this small costs a couple $100,000 to build. And at a certain point, you know, to go sit in a closet that's super small, you know, to a certain point, it just doesn't make sense to even build it. So we're just asking to have a reasonably sized office, and putting it on the setback of the property enables the plan that we've submitted to be built, which is very conservative, as I hope you'll see. And then, yeah, no special privilege for us. I think you guys got that. We're just asking to be even less than consistent with stuff that's already going on. I'll also add that our neighbors fully support what we're doing. We did another renovation earlier this year in the spirit of the mid-century style of our home that I think turned out great and the neighborhood really likes. So we're very community-minded folks that are in step with our block, and everybody, you know, is in support of us having the same thing that they have. And then lastly, I would say regarding the recommendation, so we do have a sophisticated irrigation plan, and that includes gutters, but also there's stuff we have going on underground that is also happening in this submitted plan. So I think irrigation is a complete non-issue. You know, there's not a water situation in the alley as it stands. But just proactively, as I said, we've already done irrigation, and then the building does have gutters. So I think that's basically it. Yeah.
Did you misspeak, or is it going to cost you $200,000 to build this little thing?
Well, we're just doing nice finishes and things. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I don't know if y'all know, but just to build a little thing like that is extremely expensive. So
oh, a little bit.
Y'all know.
Pardon me. Oh, you know.
We all know.
You all know. So it's to the point where, you know, if I'm going to do my home office and sit in there all day long, you know, it's a small little thing already. And to make it any smaller just makes it, I don't have the heart to even try to do this. It would make our, you know, house not really viable for our family at this point. So I know it might seem like just a couple feet, but it really makes a profound difference for us. So thank you for considering that.
Any questions for the petitioner?
Yes. Is there a structure there already?
No, this is kind of inaccurate. We tore it down. There was a shed for lawnmower outdoor equipment and stuff, and it was dilapidated, so we tore it down because it was rotted. That's what you see in those Google Earth pictures or whatever, is like a shed that's not there anymore.
Thank you. You have a question? Go
please.
Ahead.
Would you be opposed to us granting you the same variance that we just granted, giving you a foot off the? I personally don't like zero setbacks. I think it's a problem for maintaining buildings and so on. We won't get into that. Would you be okay if we granted you the same variance that we just granted, where you'd have a foot setback and the installation of gutters?
I thought that you would ask that coming up here. The only thing is that, to my point, so gutters are already there, right? And there's no pitch over the, yep, there's like zero, pitch. There's no pitch over that for the roof. So the only thing is we would still have to reconfigure the plans, lose a foot off the structure, and having already redrawn the plans a few times to meet code to be at distance from the main house. We originally made it like 8 feet from the existing house, and then we were told, oh, to be at code, we got to move to 10 feet from the existing house. So that's how we got back toward the rear of the property. So the plans as they are right now, which if I throw myself at your mercy, because a lot of you are builders and understand this kind of stuff, we, you know, within like an inch of like how to make the HVAC work and all this kind of stuff, we're just completely out of space on this thing to the inch. So I would ask, if at all possible, to just grant us what is consistent on our lane, and we can look at the photos if you want, but literally 68% of the whole block is these folks that are renting out their two-story ADU that is just absolutely at zero on the rear property line. And this is a 12-foot little strip of space, you know, that we would be doing that, where some of these structures are 28 feet long. So again, just in the spirit of fairness and precedent, I would ask that what we are proposing is not even bringing us up to things that are already going on. It's a humbler ask than things that are already happening. So I appreciate what you're saying. It would really help us out to do what we're asking, and we feel that it's fair. And again, we do have the support of the neighborhood as well.
So. It is a rear yard setback. He's got a 22-foot lane back there. Any other questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, the city has a question.
Go ahead.
Actually, she's okay. Sorry.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Mihalik, would you like to come up?
Hi, Leah Mihalik, Allaire Homes. I know that sounds different to you all now, right?
Yeah.
I don't have anything to add, but it is consistent with the historic development pattern in the neighborhood to have a 0-foot setback for accessory structures in the neighborhood. It's the only thing I had to add. Thank you.
Is there anyone online that would like to speak?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
I do not.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion to accept the petitioner's variance request.
All right. The
with the gutters.
Okay. Mr. Griffith has made a motion to grant the request for variance for a 0 rear yard setback with the condition that he adds the gutters. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. There's no discussion on the motion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Happy holidays.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is granted. Next, we need to have an election of officers. I believe Mr. Plunk, you got anything you want to say?
Yeah, I'd like to withdraw my name from consideration for chairman, and I would like to nominate in my stead Mr. Merriman. I'm currently chairman of the Savannah Development and Renewal Authority Board, and I don't know that it would be appropriate to be chairman of two different city boards in the sphere of development. Check back next year. I wasn't here when y'all nominated me anyway, so yeah. Also, I can't do prayers as well as Mr. Merriman, so for all of those reasons.
If anybody ever is chair besides me, I'm still very willing to do prayers. And I'm willing to accept the nomination unless somebody else wants to nominate somebody else, and I'm fine with that too. So
I'll second Mr. Plunk. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then.
Let's have a look.
All right.
Do we need to nominate a vice chair, or do we need to do each of those?
Mr. Connor's already accepted that. Okay. So I guess we're voting on then chair and vice chair for the
company. As a slate.
2025. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes, and it looks like me and Mr. Condon are going to serve y'all again. Thank you very much. Only one more.